Welcome back to Public Address Radio on Radio Live. It was photo opportunities all round recently when 15 little spotted kiwi were released onto Motuihe Island near Auckland. But it was also the biggest achievement yet in a project to restock the island, which can be visited by anyone, anytime, with native birds by the Motuihe Trust. The Trust Chairman, John Lawrence, is with us now. John, tell us about the Motuihe Trust. Is it an official body or just a group of interested people?
Well, the Motuihe Trust was started in 2000 by the resident concessionaire. She had the concession to farm the island and to run the kiosk on the island. And she was perturbed at the invasion of rabbits. They had tried 2 years or twice to get rid of rabbits, and the rabbits had bounced back. And I've heard some really interesting tales about how quickly rabbits breed without predators. And it appears that a couple of rabbits can breed 2.5 million new rabbits in 5 years.
I presume these ones had been here decades.
They'd been there a long time. Like most of New Zealand, the Europeans bought their pests, their goats and their sheep and their cattle and pigs and dogs, their browsing animals, and destroyed a lot of the plant growth in New Zealand. And Motuihe wasn't anything different from that. So Ronnie Harrison, the concessionaire, started the trust in 2000. She gathered together a group of people she knew, and she got some traction with the Department of Conservation. And in 2003, the trust really got going by building a tree nursery. And so all the plants planted on Motuihe Island are collected by volunteers, grown in the nursery on the island, and planted out.
And in the meantime, you've gotten rid of the rabbits.
In the meantime, Doc agreed to get rid of the rabbits, and it took about 18 months to finally get rid of the last rabbit. It was extremely difficult, a very slow process, but it was thorough, and Doc were determined to actually finish the job for the third time and do it right. And not only did they get rid of the last rabbit, but they also got all the cats. They thought there were half a dozen cats, and they'd asked the trapper to shoot those cats. And I think he ended up shooting 37.
Huh.
Yes.
What about the rats? Were the rats a problem over there?
There were rats, definitely. And those rats disappeared in the first couple of attempts to get rid of rabbits. The rats ate the poisoned rabbit carcasses and died as a result.
How did you personally come to be involved? I mean, do you have a particular affinity with Motuihe Island?
Well, I do. I went there as a kid in the 1950s, went for one of those mini barbecues that kids went on with their families, and we had sack races and egg and spoon races, and I got involved primarily because Ronnie Harrison, the founding trustee, wrote to all the boating clubs around Auckland saying, we need some help, we need trustees, we need people to get involved, and I was the secretary of the Outboard Boating Club, and I said, this sounds like a good thing for the Outboard Boating Club to do because it's so close. Most Outboard Boating Club boaties go to Motuihe at some stage, and they love it because there's always a calm beach. It's always fine on one side, always protected. So the Outboard Boating Club got involved, and I sort of led the charge on behalf of them, but we've been very well supported.
See, I think that's the great thing about it, it's a public island. It's available for recreational use. You can even stay overnight. And yet there are, you know, you're populating it with native birds. So it's not like somewhere like Kapiti Island where you can only go under supervision. It's an actual living place that people can use.
That's right. People are allowed to go to Motuihe Island at any time they like, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. It's a recreation reserve, unlike Tiritiri Matangi, which we have modelled ourselves on. Tiritiri Matangi is an open sanctuary, and they've got limits as to numbers of people who can visit and times of visiting. Hauturu or Little Barrier Island is a closed sanctuary and nobody's allowed to land unless they've got written permission from DOC, and that's hardly ever issued. So Motuihe Island is the island where people can come and see rare and endangered birds in their native habitat.
I mean, having the kiwi released there last weekend must be, you know, as someone on the trust, very exciting for any island to have, you know, our native bird populating it.
Well, that's right. It served a number of purposes, but primarily it's going to be a huge visitor attraction for Auckland and Auckland residents and visitors to Auckland. But for the volunteers who've put in thousands of hours and thousands of days work, it's a great reward for them to know that the work they have been doing and are continuing to do has a real meaning and a real purpose.
Is there a process? Is it like bidding for the Olympics? To get Kiwi on your island, you have to sort of compete against other islands and other island trusts to say, we want the Kiwi? I mean, what are the criteria that DOC look at?
Well, primarily it's whether or not the Kiwi are going to be safe. And we looked at a number of different Kiwi, and we looked at Rohe Kiwi first off. Rohe are from Okarito in the west coast of the South Island. And it was decided that they wasn't suitable to bring them up to Motuihe. And they looked around at other suitable birds, and we talked about what Kiwi species would be plentiful, maybe easily seen by visitors in the evening on the beaches. And little spotted kiwi, being small, will have the ability to produce more numbers. So bigger birds, bigger kiwi that is, they'll be limited to numbers. Little spotted kiwi maybe about one per hectare.
So there is a good chance of people go over there that they could see of an evening a kiwi strolling along the beach?
In my opinion, definitely they will see kiwi eating sandhoppers on the beach at dark.
Brilliant.
That's so exciting.
Look, thank you very much. We're going to talk now to Jonathan Miles of DOC, who's the resident kiwi expert. But John, thank you for your time.
It's a pleasure.
Jonathan, so tell me first of all, why was it that it's the little spotted kiwi, is that right, that's been released on Motuihe Island?
That's correct, yes.
Why?
To basically, the little spotted kiwi is quite a threatened species, and currently really resides only on offshore islands. There's only one area that it is on the mainland, and that's in another sanctuary called Karori. It really can't currently survive without some type of protection, like in mainland forests. So islands are the place for little spotted kiwi, and they are on a number of islands. Motuihe is the next island, obviously, that they're on. They're on Kapiti, Red Mercury, Long Island, and a few others.
In terms of climate, I mean, can it survive pretty much on any New Zealand island, maybe apart from the Auckland Islands or something?
Auckland Islands are a bit too far south. But yeah, I mean, the little spotted kiwi was found on both North Island and South Island, so it is able to handle a variety of conditions that this country can throw at it, so yes.
How many are there in New Zealand, do you think, at the moment?
Little spotted kiwi?
Yeah.
About 1,200, and the stronghold is Kapiti Island.
Right. So I suppose with 1,200 inbreeding and so forth, is not too much of an issue?
No, it's not, but we need to, keep an eye. That's a good question, keep an eye on that, because, I mean, on Motuihe, we are proposing to translocate 40 kiwis, so arguably 20 pairs. So
translocate means move, right?
Move, yeah. Yes, that's right, another technical jargon term. And so we do need to keep an eye on that in terms of genetic management, because, yes, moving small numbers of a species, certainly inbreeding is an issue or can be an issue. So over time we can, for another jargon term, inject some more vigour into that population by going back to the source site and collecting.
Do you sort of have maybe a kiwi exchange program where you take 20 kiwi from, you know, Motuihe Island and swap them with 20 from Kapiti or something like that?
That's actually done with another species that we are also working on, and that's Takahe. That we do move them around for that reason. Kiwi, no, we don't really need to do that at that stage, but that's not to say that we won't put back into that population the odd one or two over time. Yeah.
How many different kiwi species are there in New Zealand?
I might need to get a piece of paper out, because as we improve our genetic understanding or abilities, so the cloth gets cut smaller and smaller. But
right.
In the North Island, we've got what's known as the North Island brown kiwi, and that's broken into four different groups: Northland brown kiwi, Coromandel brown kiwi, Western brown kiwi, and the Eastern.
If I saw one at night time, would I be able to tell it from the other ones, or are they all pretty similar?
The North Island guys, if you throw them all in a bag and pull them out and say, where did this one come from? No, you wouldn't be able to really tell. Though, in saying that, there is a tiny bit of variation. Some of the Northland birds, they're quite big, where the Coromandel birds are quite small on average size or average measurements. But really they're all brown kiwi, and they all look generally the same. But then if we move down into the South Island, that's when things get quite interesting, because we've got in Okarito, we've got a taxa of kiwi, or a species of kiwi there. So that's what another one to add to your list.
What's that called?
Okarito brown kiwi. And in fact, that's the most critically endangered kiwi we've got. And there's 250 breeding pairs left, and they're still on mainland.
Does that mean 500? There's 250 pairs.
That's right, around 500. Yeah,
pairs, right.
Yeah.
Do they mate for life?
Okay, that's also a density question too, because the less of them, yes, they do. The more of them, I think, choice becomes more open and right. to them. And there is cases of what one would term divorce.
Right.
And moving around, yeah, but certainly in the low density populations, that's really not, doesn't happen as often, no.
So that's why you count them in breeding pairs.
That's right, yeah, it's an easy way of doing it, because also the breeding birds are the ones that are calling as well. You know that they're there. The juveniles, they don't really call until 1.5 years of age. So they're there, but you don't know that they're there. And then they're their chicks. So there's a lot of, I suppose, arguably background noise. So it's easier, like we like grouping things.
Now, I interrupted you, sorry, as you were counting around the kiwi species.
Yes, we got to Okarito.
Yes.
And then as you move further south, you've got another brown kiwi known as the Tokaweka. And that's basically based around Fiordland. And there's a north-south split genetically of that particular group of brown kiwi. And then you've got the great spotted kiwi, and the great spotted kiwi is predominantly found around northwest Nelson.
And, and you've got that, and then the little spotted kiwi.
And of course, yes, the little spotted kiwi, which we're talking about now.
So, I mean, you know, to the rank amateur, there's the brown kiwi, the big spotted kiwi, and the little spotted kiwi. Is that pretty much it?
Yeah, okay, you can, narrow it right down to the three, yeah.
I think the rest of it.
And North Island, South Island, but you see, the thing is, in the North Island, the male is the only one that sits on the nest, okay?
Yeah.
And they can have up to two nests a season, and in those nests, up to two eggs. So arguably, in a good year, the North Island brown kiwi can push out four chicks. In the South Island, it's both the male and female that sit on those eggs. And in fact, in the South Island, because of the investment of the female laying the egg and therefore also having to sit on that egg, the number of eggs is greatly reduced, sometimes basically down to one egg and one nest in a year. So productivity-wise, the South Island guys are a lot less productive than the ones up in the North Island.
So, everything's a bit slower in the South Island, though, isn't it, to be fair?
Can't comment.
So for you, I mean, having a Kiwi population released onto a new island, is this quite an exciting development?
Look, I've been fortunate enough to work on Kiwi for a number of years, and having done that, I've worked in a number of interesting parts of the country, been fortunate enough to do that. But, you know, pulling out a little spotted Kiwi from a release box on Motu Ihe Saturday and seeing the central business district of the largest city in this country in the background is quite a neat feeling, you know, because the remoteness of conservation, I mean, you're out in the middle of nowhere, literally, doing this work, to bring that close to the people is a great feeling. And the trust, and certainly some members of the trust, and the guy that you just interviewed, John Lawrence, needs to be commended by their drive and their push, because that vision to bring those kiwi, or any species, but particularly for me, kiwi, close to the New Zealand public is a great thing, because your conservation is done, but it's not actually seen or experienced, and this is an opportunity for more people, and that's the key, is more people to see this work or experience it.
And we look forward to getting there as soon as we can to check them out indeed. So look, thank you very much for your time and for your good work with the Kiwi.
Cheers.
That's Jonathan Miles from DOC. If you'd like to get involved with the project over on Motu Ihe Island, go to motuihe.org.nz. Coming up after the break, I'd meet a man who traded it all in for Lao, and we've got the sounds of the Mintchicks.